So there you go. You go to the Moscow Conservatory to study and you find yourself working with a teacher who is just 4 degrees separated from Franz Liszt himself. Here's Vancouver writer Hadani Dittmars with her story of her very close association with a Russian chanteuse.
There are times in your life when you wonder if you really can create your own reality. When I recently returned to West Coast life after years abroad, I reinvented myself as a lounge singer. I created a character named Hadanichka. A lounge singer from Leningrad was making fresh start on the West Coast, singing with some nice boys called the Molestics.
I love these boys, the Molestics, nice boys, you know, I mean, I come here from Leningrad, well, you know, communists are making comeback now, so probably they'll change the name back from St. Petersburg to Leningrad anyway, you know.
We jazzed up Ochi Chornye and put a little backbeat into Moscow Nights and said things like, Das Vadanya, baby, after each set. We played at places with names like the Blue Lizard Lounge, safe in our irony, smug in our aesthetic higher ground. With tongue firmly in cheek, we were oblivious to the fact that somewhere in a parallel universe, not so far away, Hadanichka and her musical cohorts were real, not celluloid, not fictional, not ironic, but actual. In fact, I had to look no further than a Russian restaurant named Rasputin's on West Broadway for that particular parallel universe. It was as if by portraying my onstage Hadanichka character, I had actually summoned her from out of thin air. Unknowingly, I'd been channeling the ghost of a Russian lounge singer, and now I was about to meet her face to face and briefly assume her identity. I ended up at Rasputin's one night as the guest of an old school friend whose father was cementing a deal with some businessmen from Volgograd. Inevitably, after a few rounds of vodka, we all ended up singing. Misha, the owner-host-performer, led us in a rousing chorus of, what else, a jazzed-up version of Ochi Chornye. I looked carefully for signs of irony, but there were none. This was all done with the most sincere of intentions. I ended up singing my Hadanichka backbeat-embellished version of Moscow Nights, and it was a hit.
Yeah, here we go.
But before I had time to say, Das Vadanya, baby, I had landed a job as resident singer with the Rasputin house band. That is, Laki, the gypsy violinist from Bucharest, Yuri, the pianist from Moscow, and Slava, the balalaika player from Belorussia. Every weekend we performed Kalinka, Bobby Vinton songs in Polish, and even Hava Nagila. There was no room now for ironic detachment. I had become fully engaged in my created persona. Guys with thick accents assumed I was some gypsy singer from the old country. Georgian refugees would show me photos of their families back home. Men named Vlad with big cars and dubious professions would ask me to dance. I was living the Hadanichka dream. And in an even stranger symbiosis, all this went on as the Russian economy was collapsing. One night, Yuri, who assured me that he used to be a big star back in Russia, told me that the money he'd been carefully sending his mother every month was now frozen in her Moscow bank account. He seemed a little preoccupied that evening as he played a song while the Georgians danced. They shook their shoulders and stamped their feet. I tried to imagine Stalin moving like that. I couldn't. Then Yuri sang something for the Georgians that made them cry. The song was called Mother. It's been 7 years now, one tearily confessed. The next night, while the Talibanis were assembling troops on the Russian border, Laki and I spoke with the owner of the next door located Afghan Horseman during one of our breaks. The Afghan spoke longingly of Kabul and disparagingly of the Talibanis. Number 9 bus roared by. Laki and I went back inside to play Ochi Jorni.
Ochi Jorni Ochi Strasni Ochi Jgoti
Things were getting worse. I should have seen the signs. The end of my Rasputin days was perhaps inevitable. Now Russians were eating cabbage and bartering for potatoes. The ruble was worthless. Rasputin patrons seemed to be drinking even more vodka than normal. I showed up for my usual Friday night gig, and Misha told me to go home. "We have no more money to pay you," he told me. I looked around the restaurant. There were only 2 empty tables. Misha's wife Tanya was busy in the kitchen that she never left, churning out shashlik and blinis. Laki and Yuri were playing a tango. Slava, the balalaika player, was not there. "But I had invited some important people here tonight," I protested. "Diplomats, friends, even some television producers."
"I am sorry," Misha said defiantly. "We cannot pay you."
Later on, I found out he would use the same line on the other band members. We were all replaced by a half-price gypsy band, refugees from the Czech Republic. I sat for a minute with some friends who had come to hear me sing. I was stunned by this blow. How could they do this to me? It was as if my bank account had been frozen. How would I eat this week without my gig money? Then, after summoning all the strength Hadanichka had left, I spat out my best gypsy curse at Misha and left the restaurant, vowing never to return. As I made my cabbage and potato soup the next evening, I wondered if it might be time for a new persona. A little irony, it seemed, was a dangerous thing. Я не в добрый час.
Danny Dittmars prepared that piece for North by Northwest, which listeners in British Columbia hear on Saturday and on Sunday mornings. It's hosted by David Grierson.